I am really planning on teaching this in two Sundays on March 22nd. I'm going to go into this in much more depth. But in the world of the coronavirus, everything moves so fast that I thought I did not want to wait two more weeks before I relayed some of this information to you, to show you how fast things work. Late yesterday, Italy quarantined one quarter of their population. They have been thinking of quarantining the northern provinces, which produces one-fifth of their gross national product, but decided to quarantine one quarter of the country. 16 million Italians are now quarantined. Okay. Now, if you don't have the outline here on coronavirus, raise your hand and you'll be given one. Okay, everybody's prepared and ready. So we're going to go over this fairly fast to hit some points. And I want to catch your attention right up front. Right up front. I was speaking to my brother, one of my brothers, who is an ABC streamer. And he has, to my knowledge, been the target of assassinations three times. Three times they tried to kill him, and three times he was saved. God saved them. Once they machine gunned the restaurant he was in, once they shot somebody else by mistake instead of him, and the third time was totally miraculously in a very strange way. And speaking to him yesterday, I said, I want you to treat this coronavirus as the greatest challenge you have ever had for your life. And that really caught his attention. Having gone through the life he's had, that caught his attention. I want to look at some current points here, okay? The current state of the novel coronavirus. Novel means new. It was a new coronavirus. We'll talk more about that next time. But why is it so dangerous? The official name is COVID-19. Why is it so dangerous? People say, why is it so dangerous? So far, only 3,000 people have died. Whereas in this country, since October, 18,000 people have died from the flu. 18,000 have died from the flu. So what's the big deal about COVID-19? Hopefully by the time you leave in the next 10, 15, 20 minutes, you'll get a good appreciation of what the big deal is. Two of the major measurements that epidemiologists use to track these kind of diseases are what they call the NOT factor, the reproduction factor. Basically, it's the rate of infection, the NOT factor. NOT means zero. That's a measure of how many people, on the average, are infected by a given person. So if person A gets it, how many people on the average will get it from that person? And the answer has been bouncing between 2 and 3 for coronavirus. Currently, it's kind of using 2.2 more frequently, 2.2. You say, well, two people, that's not so bad. Well, you only say that because you haven't been to a healing school. Somebody got it. Healing school, semester 3, teaching about the penalty of sexual sin. Right? I see heads nodding now, okay? So if one person has it and infects two people, what happens? Well, look at it this way. One of the greatest dangers about coronavirus is that it can be symptom-free for 7 days, but it's still infectious. 7 days, no symptoms, but infectious. So suppose on the first day, case zero infects two people, and each of those two infect two people every day, At the end of 7 days, when his symptoms start to show, how many people have been infected? And the answer is 255 on the 7th day. Now, 3 days later, the second week is when you know if it's really bad. 3 days later, 10 days. At the end of 10 days, how many people? The answer is 2,047. Now, if they get a bad case of it, then they die in about 14 days. So 14 days, that's 4 days later. From 2,047, how many will there be 4 days later? And the answer is 32,000. 32,000. One chain. 32,000 in 14 days. Let's compare that number with the flu. The flu's infection rate is also between 2 and 3. Very similar. And we all know how many people get infected by the flu. Frankly, so far in this season here, the number of people affected by flu so far since October is 32 million in this country. 32 million. We'll come back to that in a minute or so. So the other number then is the mortality rate. Given that the person is infected, what is the probability that the person is going to die? And for about 2 months, the mortality rate or the fatality rate they've been using has been about 2.5. It's been hanging around 2.5. The United Nations World Health Organization announced last week, about a week now, that the number they're using is 3.4. And that's been holding steady now for about 2 weeks. They announced it after it's been holding steady for about a week, 3.4. How do you get that, for example? Well, when they announced it, the number of infected cases was 103,000, and the number of deaths were 3,334. If you do the math, you see that's just about precise to 3.4%, 3.4%, right on the money. What's the mortality rate for flu? 0.1. So the mortality rate for coronavirus is 34 times more than the average rate for flu. 34 times. Now, currently, our government, health officials, government, is saying they don't believe the 3.4. They have not believed everything so far that the World Health Organization has told them to told the world to do, and the World Health Organization is being proven to be correct so far. So the U.S. says, well, the reason why it's so high is because you don't know all the people who've been infected. So you're taking the ones you know, that's the number on top, and you're dividing by the ones you know on the bottom, those are dead. So you're getting a larger number. If you knew all the people, actually they have that flipped. If you knew all the people, the number would go down. So the reason why 3.4 is wrong, they say, is because you don't know all the people who've really been infected, because many people haven't gone to the doctor. That's very logical. So we don't know. So 3.4 is the best number they're working with. That's the number that seems to be hitting the market, the target. But then since we don't know the answer, how could they possibly come out and say they think the number is 0.1 to 1? If those who are in favor of 3.4 don't know the true number, how could those who are against it know it? There's no science of 0.1 to 1, based on my study. And listen, I've spent a lot of time studying this over the last month. Why? Because roughly maybe 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, I'm in my prayer time speaking, and God then started to talk to me. And what he told me, I mean, it really woke me up. He said this was, ABC has gone through SARS, MERS, swine flu, and a couple of others. We haven't even paid attention. When we had the great tsunami that damaged the nuclear reactors in Japan, and a wave of radioactivity was coming here, and the stores starting to be sold out of iodine, people said, at ABC, do we go to the store and buy and try to find iodine at the pharmacist? And I said, no, we don't need it. It's not going to be a factor. We did nothing, and we were proven to be correct. By the time it got here, it was negligible or non-existent. So we've paid no attention to this. But this one, God says, is different. What it told me really shocked me a lot. And so as soon as it got a bit lighter, I called Pastor James. And I said, what do you know about coronavirus? He said, not very much, but I just by chance know that about this news reported from John Hopkins. John Hopkins Hospital is world famous. And they came out with a study 3 months before coronavirus was identified. And I'm going to start moving over to calling it COVID-19 instead of coronavirus, because that's more precise. 3 months before COVID-19 was discovered, they ran a simulation, which basically in simple English, if something with characteristics similar to this were to happen, the computer simulated what would happen given these characteristics, or approximately these characteristics. And the answer was, over a period of 18 months, 65 million people would die. 65 million people would die. So that gave me a little bit of confidence that I was really hearing from God. Because God had told me, millions and millions are going to die. So, why is COVID-19 so dangerous? Its infection rate is pretty high, reasonably high. It's not the highest. Measles is at between 14 and 18. This is on 2.2, or between 2 and 3, but it's still pretty high. The mortality rate is high, 3.4 is high. It can go one whole week without any symptoms. To me, that's really, really key. The symptoms are very similar to flu, and it's hitting during flu season. That makes it very dangerous. Plus, the timing, I mean, it's so ungodly, so satanic. The timing keeps hitting at the wrong time in the wrong places. It hit China right before New Year's. Half of China moves to New Year's. They locked down Wuhan before they locked down Wuhan. 50% of the population had left for the Chinese New Year. They hit Brazil when they had carnival. So far, they've only found one that I know of in Brazil so far. But everywhere, it hit Italy with their big season for tourism and for the fashion shows. I could go on and on, okay? Currently, as of Saturday, Italy has quarantined 16 million people. It's on 6 continents. Over 90 countries, which is probably gone beyond that by now, 106,000 cases with 3,600 deaths worldwide. Number 7, I did this really in a hurry last night. So there's some things here that you might have to add in. So you might want to add in here. Number 7, it can remain on the surface active for up to 2 weeks. In the beginning, they thought it would be a few hours. Now, the general consensus, it could be as long as 2 weeks. It's transmitted person to person through basically body fluids, coughing, sneezing, just like the flu. But it's also airborne. There's a disagreement here on this one. The U.S. government, and maybe even the World Health Organization, are not saying that. I disagree with them. And I have reasons which I'll go into next week. Airborne means the droplets are so small, they're moved by air. I'll spend more time on that in 2 weeks. In the meantime, I recommend you treat it as if it's airborne, because I'm going to make a strong case that it's airborne. I have no doubt. I'm going to treat it as it's airborne. So what are some forecasts? The United Nations speech, here's a United Nations speech given on March 5th, that's what, 2 days ago?
Three
days ago, okay? 3 days ago. He's saying to the governments of the world. This is not a drill. This is not the time for giving up. This is not the time for excuses. Does that sound like Pastor James?
Yeah.
Wasn't that what he just saying? This is the time for pulling out all the stops. Countries, listen carefully, countries have been planning for scenarios like this for decades. Now is the time to act on these plans. He's making those statements when Wuhan, the center, epicenter, the number of cases are falling in Wuhan. And for the rest of the province, Hubei province and Wuhan being the capital of the province, for the rest of the province, for I think at least a number of days, there were no more cases in the rest of the province. Still in Wuhan, but falling off. The mortality rate, by the way, in Wuhan, if I remember correctly, is 4.8%. The mortality rate depends on circumstances, weather, number of things. 4.8. Overall, it's pretty consistent, but it can vary. 4.8 is very significant. So he's making the statement, even when things are getting much better in China. How much better? Well, China is one of the world's greatest manufacturers of masks. We had masks here. We always have masks here before anything happened. And so we checked the masks we had. Guess where they're made? China. No. China has been importing masks. A friend of mine who is very, very wealthy, I mean, very wealthy, I mean, this is a man that somebody told me, he's very private, somebody told me recently that fairly recently he's given away two different donations of $1 million each. Okay? So, and he doesn't even mention it. So he has business in China. He got a call maybe 2 weeks ago or a week ago from one of his business associates in China, and he says, listen, we can't get any mask in China. Can you buy me some mask and ship me? So he said, I got online and checked around. Not one manufacturer had mask in the whole country. So he checked his contacts in Europe, and he found in Europe one place, one company, actually it was really one dealer because they'd counted it, had 3 million masks left. That's it. They said, okay, I'll buy them. He called the guy back in a day or two later in China, and he says, well, I found you 3 million masks. He says, you know what, man? Things are petering down. They're even trying to start to send people back to work. So I'm not going to take the risk and do that. So they cancel the order. My point is, there's a shortage of masks. Time is of the essence. Now, the first thing that God really had me do on this was I send out an email to my ABC family. And it said, we've been teaching for years that you should always have 3 months of food in your home for emergencies. So if you've got it, you're in great shape. If you haven't got it, maybe this is a good day to start doing it. And when you go out, buy some masks. Just, I sent this up, I'm going to guess, roughly a month ago. And in a very short email, 3 times I said, this is a good day to get it started. People who read it carefully saw that I said it multiple times, this is a good day to get started, and they dropped everything and went out and got it. They all got masks. Some people didn't get it to the second day. Everybody who went the second day got masks, but they literally got the last masks in the store. Multiple ones. My wife was very busy the first day, and we already have masks, we always have masks, but we thought we'd get some more. Because there were always people in ABC who don't get it or something, so we wanted a supply to help. She went out the second day, and boy, did they have difficulty finding it. Finally, they called Target, and got the Target said, well, we just sold out, but we still have it online. If you get here right away, we'd order it and get it for you online right away, but come right away. She's 6 blocks away. She gets to Target, get online. The guy says, oops, sold out. But they finally found it in Missouri at the medical supply house. They had 7 packages left. And she bought 5 and left 2 for somebody else. Okay? And you all have been watching the news since then about getting masks. There's sold out of masks, hand sanitizer. Every once in a while they get some in, it's gone. Like somebody went to Costco, I guess, or Sam's Club to buy water. The guy says, I know you're out yesterday, but I heard you're getting some. He said, yeah, we got some this morning, but it was gone in hours. Mm-hmm. You missed it again. And the panic really hasn't started yet. Okay? So, here's some computer studies and simulation. The John Hopkins I mentioned, that it would kill 65 million people. If you get on the internet and type in the word 65 million, you get a bunch of hits telling you about it. Okay? Harvard University, CBS March 1st, Mark Lipsitch, one of the USA's top experts on viruses, being interviewed by Jim Axelrod. What does it say? It says the Harvard simulation, which is done based on COVID-19 because they don't know what it is, they ran it and they said it predicts that 40 to 70% of the world's adult population will be infected. 40 to 70%. I mean, I watched the video, retaped the video, and he was so overcome. He didn't want to say the words. But he's a scientist, and he has to tell the truth. And he's telling the truth. You want to know the truth? Don't listen to the government officials. Go on the internet and look up works by microbiologists, virologists, immunologists, the other one I just mentioned, which some kind of is. Epidemiologist. Right. Yeah. Look at what the scientists are saying, because that's their life, their career. So when these people make these statements, do you think they want to fall flat on their sword? These prominent people from John Hopkins and Harvard, they're saying it because they fully, truly believe it. No, everybody's hoping that it doesn't work. There's some kind of a change, a miracle, and it doesn't happen. But they're telling you the truth. UCLA. Oh, by the way, one more thing. He said, for our study, we use a 1% mortality rate. 1%. Why did he use the 1% mortality rate? Because they wanted to come in with a lower number. 1% mortality rate. Remember, it's been running between 2 and 3, and now it's 3.4. The official WHO number is 3.4. He used 1. So the world has about 8 billion people. If you assume not 70% infected, but just 50%, that's 4 billion. So 1% of 4 billion is 40 million. 40 million dead. But if you use the 3.4, that's over 120 million dead. How about you, Silly? From the Los Angeles Times, March 4th, 2020, Dr. Otto Young, an infectious disease expert at UCLA, said that the COVID-19 could wind up somewhere between the Spanish flu of 1918 and the H1N1 swine flu of 2009. The Spanish flu was the greatest pandemic of the 19th century. It affected one in every three persons. There were 1.5 billion persons on Earth. It affected one in three, that's 500 million, of which 50 million died. 50 million died worldwide. So based on what is known right now, his best guess is that it might resemble the swine flu, okay? Okay, we'll talk about that later. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay? No, the faith antidote, the swine flu of the swine flu of 2009. We'll talk about that. He said, based on what is known right now, his best guess, based on what we know today, is that the coronavirus flu, the COVID-19, will more likely resemble the pandemic flu of 1968, which killed 1 million people globally, including 100,000 in the U.S. The fatality, the mortality rate that did that was 0.03. 0.03. We are talking about 3.4. What is the difference between those? A factor of 100. So the swine flu, which killed 1 million worldwide, has a mortality rate of 0.03. The COVID has 3.4, so it's 100 times more potent. So instead of killing 1 million, with a potency, all things being equal, it would kill 100 million. Part C comparisons. The Spanish flu killed 50 million people over 3 years, including 675,000 in the U.S. The fatality rate was about 2.5, still much less than COVID-19. The swine flu was the most recent pandemic, and so it caused from 152,000 to 575,000 deaths worldwide. I left out the word deaths. That's what happened when you're working late into the morning. 152 to 155,000 deaths worldwide, with about 12,000 in the U.S. In the U.S., about 65 million people were infected. So of the 65 million people in the U.S. that were infected, 12,500 died. That gives you a mortality rate of 0.02. At 0.02. That's 2/100 of a point. So instead of being 0.02, suppose we use 3.4. That will give you 2.1 million deaths. 2.1 million. Flu to date. The flu has infected in the U.S. today since October 32 million people. 310,000 have been hospitalized. 18,000 by the last one I saw have died. 18,000 currently have been killed by the flu in the U.S. You compute that mortality rate, it's not even 0.1, which is what flu is normally at 0.1. This one is running at 0.05, half of that. So whereas the COVID-19 is 34 times more deadly than a regular flu, it's 68 times more potent than the one now, which has already killed 18,000 people. And so people have said, since the flu killed so many people, why don't they quarantine for the flu? And one expert, I believe it was the executive director of the United Nations, I'm not sure. He had some quotations from him. One expert says, trying to quarantine the flu is like trying to harness the wind. You can't do it. You can't quarantine the flu. But COVID-19 functions just like the flu. Same spread factor, it's just a lot more deadly. 3.4 to generally 0.1, in this case 0.05. So all that is not very good news. What's the good news? The good news with COVID-19 is that 80% of those infected have mild symptoms. 80%. Heard this one guy on TV, recovered from COVID-19. He said, it was no big deal. For 80%, it's mild. Other good news, 96.6 will survive. 96.6% will survive. Only 3.4% will die. The odds of not getting it and the odds of not dying from it are very, very high. The odds of not getting it are very high for everybody. But you are children of the Most High God. And here at ABC, we've been training now for almost 20 years that these things are coming and how to prepare for them. So this is the first test. This, by the way, is not the worst test. This is not even a seal being opened. This is simply, from our perspective, a practice session. That's, I don't mean to sound cruel, but that's the way we should view it. It's a good lab test to see if you've learned. Now, if you're an ABC, if you think you're a regular ABCer, and you've been here for a while, gone through Healing School Semester 3 at least once, hopefully more than once, all semesters, then you know what we teach about these things and how to handle it. This is not the time for us to teach you what to do. Now, we can change. Suppose you're new, and new to this exposure. Well, then you can start learning and doing some of the stuff. But how do you behave in the meantime? Well, you should do what you feel the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. So suppose you come down with a cold and the flu. The news media says, stay home, don't run the risk of infecting anybody. So you have a choice. You can go see a doctor. You can stay home and self-quarantine. And those are basically the choices, I think, if you're not used to living in faith in the light of challenges. But if you've been through the schools and you're committed, then you know some of the affirmations we've been doing for years. John G. Lake, when the bubonic plague hit Africa, he was there taking care of the people pretty much by himself. It took a month for a medical ship to come from England down to where they are. They got down there and they came, they saw him out there with all his bodies and people, and they came running and said, don't do that, get away from them, get away from them. And he laughed, he'd been doing it for a month. He said, let me show you something. Give me two slides, microscope slides. Took one, he wiped it across the bloody frog from a dead man, and they stick this under your microscope. They did, and you could see all the bubonic germs swimming around. He said, give me the second slide. He took it, he took his hand, and wiped the frog from the dead man's mouth, remaining frog, and smeared the slide with his hand. They stuck it under the microscope, and every bubonic plague germ was dead. Now, if you've been around ABC for a while, we've been declaring that every germ, well, the entire parade is a long one, we'll just shorten it here for the current situation. Every germ, bacteria, and virus, potentially harmful to me, to us, dies in contact with our body or clothes. Okay? We should have said that so much that it's just the absolute response in our heart. So when I send out the email to buy a mask, I said, listen, you know, if they quarantine places, or the law told me they're going to quarantine citizens in this country. It's already happening. Okay? So if they put in a quarantine, you may not be allowed out unless you wear a mask. Because for the regular ABCers who've been doing this for years, they know the scriptures. That your mouth creates your lifestyle for you. So I wasn't telling my regular ABCs to buy a mask, to walk around with a mask all day long. Now, you know, when Daniel was thrown into the den of the lion, he was protected. But if he had decided, you know, oh, I'm a big, strong believer, I'm going to jump into the lion's den, it may have worked out differently. Right? So what am I saying here? I'm saying, hey, we believe if this coronavirus is dumb enough to jump on us, it's going to die. Right. Amen. Yeah. But that doesn't mean we go look for it. Say, hey, I'm guys, Come on, I'm going to take you right now. Come on, you viruses. Jump in there, you see that you're going to die. No, that's not the attitude. The attitude is we do our best and God does the rest. And wherever we are in our knowledge and practice, that's the same philosophy. ABC can be a lot of work. I mean, why shouldn't it be a lot of work? Do you know how many pages are in my Bible? I don't know about yours, but my Bible has a lot of pages. God didn't write it because he got bored and had nothing else to do. He wrote it for you and for me. Isn't that true?
Yep.
So, that's why we have 7.5 years of formal schools. But anywhere you are, from the beginning, coming the first day, onto the person who's been here the longest, you do your best and God will do the rest. Healing and protection and every blessing of God is available for you through grace if you keep taking a step towards God. So one step God has saved. One step will bring you protection and your blessing and whatever you need, but you keep taking a step moving towards God. You can't say, well, I arrived, I ain't going to learn anything anymore. Which, by the way, a pastor, the top pastor of a major denomination, Pentecostal word-based type denomination, told me, hey, I learned enough. I don't need to learn anymore. This is all the stuff you got sounds good, but I don't need to learn anymore. I hope he makes it through the current scare. Wrong attitude. He's successful and famous, but he thinks he's arrived. He's not proud. He's just, I've learned enough. We never learn enough. And the more we learn is the more we realize how really ignorant we really are. That has to be the attitude. Because we are called to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to get there sitting in our laurels. We're getting there by applying the Word of God diligently. If you hear and diligently obey the Word of God, these blessings will chase you down and overtake you. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. So, the good news is the good news. Psalm 91, verse 10. No evil shall befall you, and no plague come near your dwelling place. If you're new to ABC, we have a lesson, an outline on introduction to spiritual warfare. That prayer is on there. Our ABCs have been saying these prayers every day for years, some of us decades. Luke 10:19. Anybody know what that is? Okay. Nothing of the enemy. Nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt me. And by the way, that's in the context of the ending days. Okay. Ephesians 4:30. You're sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit until the day of your redemption. There's a seal of protection around you. It is your Abraham's tank. As long as you don't get out of the tank, little pop guns and whatever you have can't hurt you. Don't get out of your tank. Stay in the seal. Confess your sins frequently and practice what the Bible says to do. So if you can buy hand sanitizers, I would recommend it. You know, I was talking about 3 different people recently. I'm winding down. I thought God has blessed ABC since we got started. Ever since we got started, God has always managed to bring the right people here. The most amazing people come to ABC for a season. And the information that we get, it's amazing how we get information before it breaks to the rest of the world, much less to the church. Truly, truly amazing. And so we have a letter which I didn't have time to show you here. I've sent it to a bunch of people. It's from a doctor who did much of the preliminary work on coronavirus, the coronavirus family, not COVID-19. And he's saying, addressed to his friends and family, you know my history, and here's what I'm going to do to meet the threat. And he lists the things in there. And so one of his friends is one of our family members. So we got a copy of it. And so we sent it out, not exactly. I don't think we've sent it out generally yet. I know what it is. We have it in a cell phone, so I've sent it to some cell phone users, okay? But I wanted to include it here. I didn't have time. I'm going to include it in 2 weeks. But let me tell you, the things he was recommending is all in here, plus more. So you really need, I got this from him. It says, every door of his house has a sanitizing gel. No matter which door he comes in, he just grabbed it. Like that. You make it fast so it doesn't take much time. Squish it, that's it, and you go. That's the value of the sanitizing gel. Has it in his cars? Well, we have it in our cars also. We've always had it in our cars because we spend a lot of time in hospitals. And we've been into a lot of infectious rooms where the things are, you know, highly super bugs. Okay? Infectious super bugs, and we've been in there a number of times where we had no mask or anything. So we've learned to keep it in our car. So it's difficult to buy it because everything is pretty much sold out. So I have a recipe here to make it. It's very simple. Rubbing alcohol, yeah, everybody got that. Aloe vera, you can buy that anywhere. Tea tree oil and lavender oil, just 5 drops. Some vitamin E, I don't know how, that's to make your hands soft. I don't know, maybe one vitamin E pill. They didn't say, you know, huh? Yeah, well, you can, the capsule you can break and get some liquid out of it, or you can buy it in liquid in a bottle, whatever. And whisk them together. I didn't even know whisk was a cooking term, okay? I had to go to my wife and ask her, what is this whisk they're talking about here? I thought they dropped the EY, you know, whiskey. You know, whisking them and down. Okay. Physical lifestyle guidelines. Mask. If you can get mask, buy mask. If you have not tried to buy a mask, go try. Pray. All things are possible to God. This is practice time. If you have prayed and you tried to buy a mask and you never got any, come see me afterwards. But don't come see me if you have masks, and don't come see me if you haven't tried. But if you tried to buy it and you never got any, and you prayed and tried, if you tried and didn't pray, go back and pray and try. Peter spent a lot of time here helping us, and I tell you, you can't believe the things Peter sells by just praying. Things that are just amazing. He prays, and God gives him the greatest ideas. Okay, we have this van out here, and there's a light that keeps going on. The brake light keeps going on, and nobody has been able to fix it. Peter went out there and fixed it in about 10 minutes. You know. Anyway, it's been there on this vehicle for a long, long time. Before we got the vehicle, actually. So masks, you want to wear them in crowded places. And if you live in an apartment building, well, no, we can wait 2 weeks anyway. Okay? Mask. Buy a mask, wear them. It's best to use a mask only once. But with the shortage, reusing may be necessary. We all know that there is a shortage. Before reusing your mask, I suggest you put it in the direct sunlight, outside or through the window. Let the direct rays of sun hit it, because the ultraviolet will kill the viruses. Okay? So I recommend that. And with that, you can reuse the mask. Now, when you take it off, remember, the idea is for the stuff to stick on the outside of the mask. So you don't want to go stick your finger in it. You want to take it off gently, put it in the sun, and go wash your hands.
Gloves.
And if you got gloves, wear gloves. It's good to have my gloves. When you cough, you want to cough into tissue and dispose of the tissue properly. Just normal hygiene. If you haven't got any tissue, cough into your elbow, which is not the greatest thing in the world, but it's better than just coughing in somebody's face. Hands. This is as important as wearing masks. Wash your hands frequently. Wash your hands every time you enter your house. Wash your hands every time you go into the car. Wash your hands every time you use money, as soon as you can. The Bank of China, and the man I called about the who told me about the buying the 3 million masks. He knew this. In fact, he brought it up to me. I was going to tell him, but he brought it up to me first. The Bank of China has been collecting all the money that's coming as it comes in and sanitizing it and leaving it to sit for 3 to 5 days. That's before they found out the stuff can last for 14 days. So they don't do it anymore. They can't tap the money. All that money, they just can't tie it up for 14 days. Money is one of the dirtiest things you'll touch. Some years ago, they did a study, and most of the money, almost every bill, had cocaine in it. Okay? Use sanitizer on your hand when you're getting back in your car, which won't work if you haven't sanitized your steering wheel. So you want to sanitize your steering wheel with a hand sanitizer. You could use alcohol, but test it first in a small part so you don't damage your steering wheel. Because if you come back to me and tell me you damaged your steering wheel, I'm not going to replace it. Okay? We recommend don't shake hands. Okay? Now, be led by the Spirit. I mean, for the mature people, there's no problem with shaking hands. If you believe every germ is going to die with you, shaking his hand, you might be doing him a favor and killing his germs. On the other hand, you make people nervous. You know, I don't want to shake your hand, but bump. People are going to get into bumping. A bump or this.
What about hugging?
Well, yeah, the question is, what about hugging? Well, I'm going to let you pray about that, okay? Okay. I think hugging is a lot better than shaking hands. Because the thing you want to avoid is touching your face. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you. Washing your hands frequently is as important as wearing a mask. And touching your face is the main reason why we wear a mask. And why some people say the main reason why you shouldn't wear a mask. Some say if you wear a mask, you're more likely to adjust the mask and touch your face. And others say if you wear the mask, then you don't have to worry about touching your face because the mask is there. But they say people touch their faces about 90 times a day. 90 times a day, the average person, without realizing it. So wash your hands because you're going to touch your face without realizing it. So knuckle bump or elbow bumps. Here's the biggie. We actually saw a video on this. I've seen a lot of videos over the last few months, and thank God he's given me discerning to know which ones are fakes. And I believe the one I'm going to tell you is a fake. Not positive. But it was a video from an elevator showing two people come onto the elevator. And one, they say, later just come back being diagnosed with COVID-19, coronavirus, is what they were saying. And she comes on the elevator, and she spits on all the buttons. And then she rubs all the buttons with it. The other guy came in, spit in his hand, and rubbed the buttons. Now, will people do that? And the answer is yeah. The people who are evil will do evil things. Was that video true? I don't think so. For a number of reasons, I don't think it's true. I think it was a hoax. But it's a good habit. Don't touch them. You're going to the bathroom in a public place. Use a piece of paper to open the door. Okay? The video I saw, another one that was I think is fake, showed a lot of people dropping dead in China, including inside restaurants and so forth, from COVID-19. I'm 99% that's a fake, for a number of reasons. One is, COVID-19 has no symptoms, no symptoms for the first week, and if symptoms, they're mild, just like flu. But when they get bad, they get really, really bad. And COVID people are in such great pain, when it gets near the end, there ain't no way they're going to walk into a restaurant. First of all, I don't think they can, and B is, why would they want to go to a restaurant? I mean, they're on the verge of dying. I mean, dying is probably a good answer for them at the point of time. So people near death with COVID-19 would not be anywhere near a restaurant. They might crawl up in their bed and die in a corner, but to walk in the restaurant drop dead? There's some other reason, but that was the biggie, okay?
Clear. Paper towel to flush the toilet.
Yeah, right. Of course. I mean, if you open the door with a paper towel, flushing your toilet is the same. Or flush it with your feet. Your shoes, I mean, not your toes. So, take out my shoes and flush it. Okay. Clean your cell phones with Lysol or Clorox wipes. Lysol actually advertised it's safe for cleaning phones. The man I called about the 3 million masks, he told me that there's a device, a box called, I think, a soap box, and you put your phone in there, you can buy it, put your phone in there, and it bombards it with UV rays. That would be a great thing for your mask and for your cell phone. If you don't have wipes, then I would suggest you get a little bit of alcohol, put it in a nice piece of cloth, and turn the phone upside down and wipe it upside down so the liquid isn't running into it. And when alcohol dries really fast, and then you turn it and do it side. And don't do it near the way there are holes and openings. Okay? Do it where there's not. They say alcohol may, the screen protector on your cell phone has a chemical in it that prevents or minimizes fingerprints. They say alcohol can make that not work as well as it should. So if you have a choice between fingerprints on your phone and viruses, you got to make the choice yourself, okay?
It might be advisable for people to think of buying a phone cover that's waterproof called LifeProof, and then you just keep disinfecting that, but it won't affect your phone inside.
Okay, but it's not just the cover, it's the entire phone.
Yes, but you this will be completely waterproof, so your phone inside, once it's disinfected, put it in here, and then this never, even if you drop it or whatever. So when you keep disinfecting phones like that, many people have a challenge that it could leak a tiny bit in their buttons.
Not if they do it the way I tell them.
Turn it upside down.
Not if they do it the way I tell them, which is turned upside down when you do it. But what is it called?
LifeProof, and it totally
LifeProof, and it totally insulates the phone. What about the screen?
Everything. The screen, everything is insulated.
Okay.
And it's waterproof.
So there's something called LifeProof, which totally surrounds your phone, and you can clean that without affecting the phone. Mm-hmm. So that's a good solution, okay? Now, why is it important? Because you touch your cell phones a lot. Toilet seats have about 1,200 bacteria per square inch. 1,200 per square inch. Toilet seats are very dirty. 1,200 bacteria per square inch. But they say the kitchen sink generally has 1,700. Because people are not good at cleaning the sinks after they cook and do things. But the cell phone has 27,000. 27,000 bacteria per square inch. So this is not a trivial thing. Again, your face, don't touch your face. In flying, one guy with a name that's supposed to be famous, I have no idea who he is, but that doesn't mean anything. I don't really know a lot of people. He says, people should not go on cruise ships and should not fly in planes. That's his recommendation. It's kind of hard to do. But I say one step down. Planes are dirty. Everything on the plane is dirty. And the dirtiest thing, this is a statistical study done, and they're trying to clean the planes. The dirtiest thing on the plane is the storage area on the back of the seat. So the one in front of you, that is the dirtiest area. They say don't touch it, don't put anything in it. They found tissues, for example, people blowing their nose and they're stuck in it. They said it's just, these are the workers. It's the dirtiest thing on the plane. But planes are just dirty. You want to buy a mask, hand sanitizer, and wipes. If you don't have the sanitizer, you can make it up there. It's very easy to make that. And have 3 months of food at home. We're not talking about gourmet cooking. We're talking about stuff that you can use if you can't get out. You know, in Wuhan, people have been locked in their homes now for like 2 months. One person gets to go out once a week, assuming they have a mask. China has used totally draconian methods to clamp down on Wuhan. And that makes me think they really knew how bad it was at the very beginning. Really, I mean, it's absolutely amazing, these things they've done. But it has worked. It has worked. See? Because they had 60 million people. A lot of people should have died, and yet they kept the death rate under 3,000. Okay? So, we'll see what the other governments of the world do. They can't do that. That's just really, I mean, we can't tolerate that in this country. You have to be an authoritarian state to do that. Rumor is they shot people. for breaking quarantine. You go to your house without a mask, they shoot you. That's a rumor. I don't know if it's true. Anyway, that's it. So thank you very much, Sarah.